Welcome to Denim Wrapped Nightmares, Tipsy Exchange Podcast, where we explore the Supernatural series episode by episode.
Over drinks, we'll discuss the lore, the gore, and what we adore about the Winchesters and their adventures.
I'm Burley, and I'm a new fan of the series.
I'm LA, and I'm here along for the ride. Now let's get tipsy.
Hello, LA.
Hello, Burley.
Real quick, I was working on editing our previous two episodes. I'm not positive, but I think we missed something in Live Free, Twy Hard.
Okay.
I was listening to us describe the scene where Boris changes Dean and just the overall predatory theme of the episode and all that kind of stuff. I think it was supposed to be an allegory for sexual assault.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just think how uncomfortable it was, how Dean was just trying to mind his own business and walk away and he rejected him and then...
Dark alley.
Yeah. The whole just being kind of frozen whenever it was happening.
I could see it.
So with that in mind, I'm like, oh, okay, it was a good scene then. Because you and I were like, oh, this is uncomfortable.
It's awkward.
Yeah. Then I'm like, as two people who have both been in that situation before, I'm like, okay, accurate.
Yeah.
Anyway, but fast us forward. To last week's episode. God damn it.
What?
Last episode. What happened?
Oh, it's me.
Yeah,
that's me.
That's you. It's your turn.
So that episode was called You Can't Handle the Truth. Mm-mm. Sam and Dean investigate a series of suicides and discover the victims were being told brutal truths that drove them crazy. They found out someone was invoking the goddess of truth, Veritas, forcing people to be cruelly honest against their will, and Dean was the next victim. Dean was forced to tell Sam the truth about how he feels about his return from hell and how he doesn't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he beat the shit out of him.
There was confirmation. Like, we've known it, but there was confirmation that something's wrong with Sam.
Yes.
Veritas was like, you're not human, before she turned into a cat for an inexplicable reason. Well, today's episode is called Family Matters. And I'm trying to think of the theme song. Like, I know it's like, can I do that? Like, that's Urkel, right? That was Family Matters?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What was the song?
Oh, I don't know that.
I cannot think of it. Anyway, it's the 7th episode of season 6, and it originally aired on November 5th, 2010. The episode starts with Sam trying to focus his vision on a handsome, angelic face, which is leaned over looking at him and being like, oh, fuck. You got fucked up.
My first note said, Sam looks like shit.
Yeah. Castiel is there to help, and Sam is, surprise, tied up to a chair.
Not a surprise anymore.
Cass is asking Sam all these questions, and Sam finally goes, are you trying to diagnose me? And Dean is like, you better hope he can, because I can't take you to a doctor and say, hey, he came out of hell wrong. Can you help us? And Cass is just asking away, and then he's like, wait a minute, Sam, what do you feel? Sam says, well, I feel like my nose is broken. Cass is like, no. That's a physical sensation. What do you feel, Sam? Oh, and he's asking this because Sam has just admitted that he hasn't slept since he came back from hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big red flag, apparently. Sam is just like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I would have been like annoyed, irritated. Why am
right?
I tied up to a chair? But no, Sam doesn't know. And so Cass looks at Dean and starts to undo his belt. And Dean like looked down and watched Cass undo his belt.
Yeah,
and then
did.
Sam was like, and I was like, Sam is going, am I into this?
Yeah.
What's happening?
He was like, I'm worried, but also a little excited.
I
don't know. He really doesn't know how to feel.
Yeah, he has no idea. He's just like, okay. And then he like takes his belt off and folds it in half and goes to stick it in Sam's mouth. He's like, bite down on this. This is going to be uncomfortable. If you have somewhere soothing you can go, you should do that.
That's it, yeah.
And he was like, in your mind.
Yeah.
Like, let me clarify. Hey, Cass can teleport, okay? He just wanted to make sure that Sam understood.
Yeah, but Sam can't. So it's kind of dumb.
And Sam is just like, oh, fuck, this is not the way I thought this was going to go.
Mm-mm.
Before he can think anything else, he is getting penetrated right under his rib cage. I liked this special effect.
Fist going in there.
He got it all the way, got completely fisted all the way in the forearm, like up to the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Sam was not ready for it.
Cass was in there.
There was no preparation other than belt in your mouth.
Yep. Go somewhere nice in your mind.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, that
another
could be...
allegory. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. What is up with this season? Consent is being a really big theme going on here. You know, and poor Sammy. Why is Sam always the one getting. Why? I don't know. Anyway, Cass digs around in there and he can't find nothing. He tells Dean he's perfectly healthy physically.
And when he was saying that, I thought he was just going to say he's perfect. And I was like, he is.
He's like, he's perfectly healthy, but there's one little thing. There's a small little problem. Sam, you have no soul.
Ugh.
Sam is just like, oh, shit, that sucks. And Dean is like, what? This is the worst thing that could happen. I don't understand. Where's his soul? And Cass is like, well, if it was my fucking guess, it's still down in the cage with Michael and Lucifer. So we were like, when Sam was getting pulled out, Michael and Lucifer were like, no, we love you. Stay. And they tried to hold on to him, but they just managed to get a hold of his soul.
It was their favorite part of him.
Was it?
Yeah.
Aww. Maybe Adam was like, I need somebody to hang out with. And so they were like, we'll keep the soul part. You can have the rest. Who knows? Anyway, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
Dean's really upset about it. Sam, not so much because he doesn't feel anything right now. And then Dean is missing all this passive aggressiveness being tossed his way in this episode. Maybe he's not missing it. Maybe he's just choosing not to react to it. But first, we've got Sam being like, okay, like, that sucks, whatever. But like, let me go. And Dean's like, I don't think so. You don't have a soul. Sam's like, I'm not a psycho, Dean. I'm not going to go running around killing everybody. And okay, for the umpteenth time, I'm sorry I let you get turned into a vampire. All right? I didn't want you to get hurt. I just wanted to find out where the vamps were. You know?
Like, by using you.
Let it go. Dean's just like, no, you're going to stay tied up to that chair. Sam's like, well, I didn't want to have to do this. And you think that it would be something like huge, but he just stands up and just shows that like he got out of his bonds. And he was like, you're not going to hold me here, Dean, not tied up to a chair, not in a panic room. And I was like, ooh.
Not anywhere.
Not anywhere. So you may as well just work with me. And Dean was like, oh, okay, fine. Fine, you soulless Sam. But if we're going to do that, we got to figure some shit out. And he was like, Cass, clean him up. We watched this scene a lot.
Well, and I was like, I was sitting there thinking, like, as Sam was talking about, you know, he's not going to be tied down. I was like, God, clean his face up. It's a mess. And then when he said to Cass to clean my mouth, I was like, why does Cass have to do that? But then.
The two fingers.
Yeah.
Cass was gentle this time. He did. He just used the two fingers, not the fist. He didn't do the fist.
Fixed him.
Yeah. Fixed him. Fixed his face.
Yeah.
And then L.A. was happy again.
Yes. He was perfect again.
He was beautiful. Okay, so next up, Dean is just like, all right, we're going to go get some answers and find out what the fuck's going on about this whole soul thing. And we only have one lead to go off of. And so they go to the Campbell compound.
Ugh. Fucking Campbells.
Fucking Campbells. So they pull up in there, and there are a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're sharpening. They're all working on something.
Yeah.
Sharpening knives.
Sharpening axes. You know, doing things with syringes. I was like, is that the sangria recipes? What's happening? What's happening up in here? This little workshop of happy little elves putting together weapons and stuff. I'm like, are these more Campbells that suddenly have just come out of nowhere and we aren't going to have an explanation? Like, what's happening?
I think why I don't like them is like none of them have a personality.
And like, where did they come from?
Right.
I thought you were all dead. Yeah. Are they all possessed? Because we find out Christian's been possessed this whole damn time.
I was going to, in that scene, it seemed like two more people popped out of nowhere.
It was three that grabbed the alpha vamp and disappeared.
Where the hell did they come
from? What are they doing?
Okay. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are. So are they all, were they all a bunch of little demon minions?
Well, I know Christian was, but I don't think Gwen was.
Yeah, I don't think Gwen is.
Yeah.
So where did Gwen come from?
I don't know.
Anyway, so we're in the Campbell compound. Sam and Dean are just like, what the fuck is going on? And they come in. They're just like, we need to talk to the man. We need to talk to Samuel the man. Where is he, Christian? Get the fuck out of our way, Christian.
The big man.
Go away. They go back to Samuel's. Oh, wait. First.
Yeah, I was going to say they just bust in the room, not a knock or anything.
Not a knock or anything. And Samuel was looking at something whenever they walked in. And he very, like, shady-like put it away in a drawer very quickly whenever they came in the room. So it was like, what was that?
And then tried to act all sly, like, oh, hey.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, what's up? Like, They're like, what the fuck's going on out here? And Samuel's like, oh, I don't trust you, so I'm not going to tell you guys. Like, I have a big hunt coming up and blah, blah, blah. The other thing that happens in this conversation is that they're like, okay, well, like, Sam has no soul. So
by the way,
we need you to tell us this whole story again about your resurrection. What happened? He's like, I don't know what to tell you. I was in heaven, and then all of a sudden, I was at Elton Ridge.
What did he say? And then Cass appeared?
Tell our wingman about it. That's what it was.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, we want you to tell us the resurrection story again. Tell our wingman. And we hear flop, flop, and Cass is standing there in the background. Standing there next to Samuel. And Samuel's like, I thought you'd be bigger. And Cassiel was like, this is a vessel. My true form is the size of your Chrysler building. I was like, imagine getting fisted with that. Yikes. So then Samuel tells his resurrection story again for Cassiel to hear. It wasn't very detailed, nope. I have to say.
Very simple.
I still don't understand how he and Sam found each other. Well, I guess Crowley put them all together.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah.
He manipulated them like little chess pawns, I'm assuming, because he's so smart.
Yep.
A little smarty pants. Anywho, Cass is like, okay, well, great story. Let me fist you real
cool
quick.
Cool story, bro.
And so shows all the workshop, and you hear Samuel like, So Christian goes running back there with his gun. And we get to see the after effects where Samuel's just like hunkered over, like, oh, it's okay. I'm okay. I survived the fisting. I'm fine.
Didn't Dean call it a angel cavity search?
Yeah. And so Cass reveals, like, well, Sam has a soul. Or not Sam. Samuel. Why'd they have to have them be named the same? Samuel has a soul. So I don't know what to tell you guys. It's just you, Sam. Sorry. And Sam's just kind of like, oh.
He had his little face. He was like, he was jelly.
He had little puppy dog eyes a little bit. And so I was like, I mean, he clearly feels something sometimes. But he was, it was like he was jealous, I think.
Yeah.
He was sad. He thought that he was going to have a soulless partner.
Nope.
No.
It's just you. Poor Sam's on his own.
Just you, Sam.
Aw. Sweet guy.
He's feeling like a little freak again. It's like he was psychic, and then he was telekinetic, and then he demon blood, and then now he has no soul? Like, jeez. Poor Sammy. Anyway, Cass is at the window looking up toward the skies, and he's just like, I have to go. And Dina's like, excuse me, you're supposed to be helping me. And Cass says, I'm in the middle of a civil war. How many times do I have to tell you this? I have to go. And Dean says, well, you're going to search all through the attic up there to try and find stuff that's going on with Sam's soul. Like, you're going to dig around and you're going to keep helping us. And Cass is like, of course, Dean, your problems always come first.
I loved it.
Before he flaps away again. And I was just like, that's the second passive aggressive comment Dean has had thrown his way that he didn't really react to.
Everybody is over Dean.
Like, is it going over his head, or is he just like, damn right you will. Like, damn right my problems come first. I liked this episode.
I did too.
So now that Cass is gone and they're just like, well, Sam, you're shit out of luck for now. There's nothing else we can do. It seems like you're planning something, Grandpa Samuel. Why don't like cut us in? I want to play too. And it turns out they're going after the alpha vamp. Sam kind of figures it out. And so Dean is like, oh, I want in. That guy sent me psychic visions while I was a vampire. And I want in. I want to hunt him. So I will do whatever you say. You're 100% in charge. Like, I get that you don't trust me. Your play. I'm game. I trust you. And then it like cuts to Sam and Dean walking outside the compound. And Dean's like, I don't trust him.
I knew it. I was like, okay, Dean, sure. And I like Dean was like, you would see it too if you were Robo Sam.
Yeah. Poor Samuel. He's like, you don't have any instincts right now. You got nothing. Like, you can't tell nothing. Like, from now on, you better tell me everything, whether you think it's important or not, because you can't fucking tell the difference anymore, bro. Poor Sam.
He's soulless and has no common sense.
Nothing. You don't know shit. So Samuel is like, okay, fine. You're going to come with us. It's fine. We're all going to the Alpha Vamp's house. And so they go to a house that was in Dean's visions, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, wait, I just want to point out what a dick Christian is. Mm. Remember? Because, like, Sam goes and sits down with Christian while he's sharpening his axe.
Whittling his axe, yeah.
And, like, distracts Christian and Dean. I don't know why their names are such a problem. Dean goes to break into Samuel's office and Christian catches him.
Did that happen here? That happened before the hunt.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking it happened afterwards for some reason, but I think you're right. So yeah. So they're like, okay. So Dean says, I don't trust him. I want to go do some digging around. And so Sam goes and does that. And the reason we're saying we don't like Christian is because for no reason whatsoever. Well, I guess I shouldn't say for no reason whatsoever. Christian confronts Dean. There is a reason for confronting Dean. Dean's breaking into Samuel's office. And Sam's, or Dean's like, I just did it. I said Sam instead of Dean at first.
Yay.
Dean's like, I just needed to make a phone call and I was looking for somewhere private. And Christian says, oh, you needed Samuel's locked office to make your phone call? It was that private. Dean lies and says it wasn't locked. He picked the lock and had opened it already. This is the part that was unnecessary. But for some reason, Christian says, is insinuating that Dean's out of practice and is like, the only action you've seen lately was between your slut girlfriend's legs. What the fuck? What did Lisa do to you?
Right?
She's hardly been in this season.
I don't even like her, but she didn't deserve that.
She didn't deserve that at all. She's like, okay, we already didn't like you, Christian. Yeah. You just sealed the deal. We really don't like you. Mm-hmm. We were ready for Christian to be dead at the end of this episode for that.
Yeah.
How dare he? Anyway,
Cross the line.
Again, we don't know Lisa from anybody. She's had zero character development this entire season. But I do know she's not a slut. Mm-mm. And she didn't deserve that. Mm-mm. Dean didn't even punch him or anything for that.
He was just trying to provoke him.
True. All right, now all the gang gets together and goes to the Alpha Vamp's house that was in the psychic visions that he pushed out to all the vampires. That Dean still doesn't really know what those visions meant because he didn't finish his onboarding. He just knows house. What is the wind thing?
Weathervane.
And the two little girl vamps. Who I'm like, were they there? Where'd they go?
So did he give him these visions just to get him to bring Sam to him?
Well, Dean didn't bring them there. Samuel found him.
Oh, that's true.
So no, we still don't know what the visions were. Like I said, Dean didn't finish his onboarding training.
That's true.
So if he did, he would know, but he doesn't know. Samuel found out where the Alpha Vamp was somehow. And so they all pull up there and Samuel's like, okay, like literally everybody's coming with me except for you, Dean. You and Gwen have to stay here and keep a lookout. And Gwen's like, I have to stay behind with the reject. And then later she was like, I'm sorry about the reject
thing. I know. I was glad she apologized. I was like, rude.
She was just upset, you know.
Sorry. I was proud of Dean that you could tell he was like, oh, I don't like this, but he went with it.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
he gave it a good effort.
So Gwen and Dean are kind of bonding just a little bit. Like you can tell she doesn't hate him the way, and I don't think Samuel hates him. He just doesn't trust him.
Yeah. Christian hates him.
Yeah. Yeah, Christian's a dick. Dean and Gwen take out a vampire that attacks them, and we do get our 37th blood splooge of the Supernatural series when Gwen decapitates the vampire and Dean gets blood splooge all over his face.
She saved him.
But it did not get in his eyes.
It did not.
Which is good, because that would sting.
All over his cheek.
Just all over his cheek and his neck.
Yeah.
After this, there's gunshots and yelling. And then Dean breaks protocol and takes off running. And Gwen is like, we're supposed to stay out here and keep watch. But Dean takes off. She does not rat on Dean later.
Yeah, I know.
She has his back later. So I'm.
I liked it.
Gwen's winning me over.
Yes. She's probably the only Campbell I'm okay with at this point.
Mm-hmm. Dean goes to the courtyard and sees bodies. There's bodies, bodies, bodies. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Some of them are decapitated, so we're assuming those are vampires. Some of them are not. I'm assuming they're hunters. There were a bunch of random hunters that went with Samuel and Sam and Christian.
Sounded like you said humpers.
That maybe they were humping. I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding.
And then we get our 38th blood splooge of the Supernatural series as one of the random humpers is in the window banging on it and then gets pulled away and a blood splooges all over the window.
This is a big one.
Yeah. We were like, they had to use the cannon for that one, the blood cannon that Jet told us about. And I was thinking, oh my God, did the two little girl vampires kill all these people? Because it's at this point that Dean looks up and sees the weather vane. And we realize they're at the same house from the visions. Mm-hmm. So I was like, is it the two little girl? Are we going to see the two little girl vampires killing people? But we did not get to see that. So where are the little girl vampires?
I bet you're right. They're in the house.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because we didn't see them get killed. We didn't see them, period. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking we were going to, and I was kind of getting excited about it. Because I know Kripke likes creepy kids. He's not involved in this season that much. But still, I thought we were going to get to see them, and we did not. So Dean's trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. He goes around the corner and looks around, and he sees that somebody has their hands tied behind their back, bag over their head. Samuel, Sam, Christian, they're all like kindly escorting him into the back of a van. Like he's just walking. Mm-hmm. And then Dean looks at his hands and it triggers another memory from his visions.
Those nails.
Those nails. Those nice manicured hands. He's like, hands. I get it. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And so he was like, oh, fuck. Vision flashback again. And so that's the alpha that's getting loaded into the van. And then Sam hears something and looks over, but Dean's gone. So then everybody comes walking over to meet back with Dean and Gwen. They're just like, yep, we took care of it. Alpha's dead. We're good. Nobody says anything about too bad for all those hunters that just got nothing.
Yeah.
I don't see a hunter's funeral. I didn't see smoke. I didn't see fire. And they ask, like, what happened? And that's when Gwen just kind of covers for Dean. Is like, it's fine. Like, we took out a runner and otherwise nothing happened. Dean asks about the alpha vamp. So, like, you took care of it? I would like to see him. And that's when they said, sorry. He's already getting toasty, roasty. It's like, oh, they're terrible liars. There's no smoke.
I know. I was like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Do a better lie.
Dean is just like, Lies.
All the lies.
So he's really mad at Sam, right? Because we thought Sam didn't know what was happening with the capturing of the alphas, but Sam was right there for this one. So he knows. He knew that's what they've been doing. And Dean is just like, what the fuck? Like, I saw you seeing what was going on. What the hell? Whose idea was it to keep me out of the loop? And Sam goes, mine, because you would have messed it up.
What did he say? He was like, you shoot first, ask questions later.
But it's like, you're still taking him on hunts. He's still going to shoot first, ask questions later. How is him just not knowing what the end game is going
to
help?
That's why he had to hang back with Gwen.
I guess. It was just weird. And so that's when Dean is just like, okay, you know what? Fuck this. If we're going to hunt together, I'm calling all the shots. That's it. You're going to tell me everything. Because you can't tell the difference between what's important and not. You have no common sense. No decency. Just this soulless, immoral idiot. That's it. And then it cut to somebody packing up a bag. And I was like, oh my God, it's Sam. He's packing up a bag. He's leaving. And they pan up. And I was like, oh, it's Samuel. Never mind. Sam stayed with Sam. And then Sam walked in. I said, Sam stayed with Sam. Sam stayed with Dean. And then Sam walks in the door. And I was like, oh my God, he did leave Dean. And then Samuel tells Sam the same thing. Like, yeah, like you can hang out and everything, but no, I'm not letting you in on all the big stuff because you don't have a soul. And I was just like, oh no, what's he going to do now? Well, it turns out he was working with Dean all along. I should have known better.
Yeah.
He turned on the GPS to Samuel's phone because Samuel wasn't going to tell him where the alpha vamp was. He was like, so I went with plan B and I turned on the GPS. And Dean was like, you don't think he'll figure that out? And Sam was like, no, he's still really impressed with Velcro or something like that.
So am I.
We were like, Velcro is really cool. Like, I get it, Samuel. I would be impressed too. So they track Samuel and his group of hunters, because there's more of them, to this abandoned warehouse. I got really hung up on, where are they? Is this somebody's place of work? Is this something that they've rented out? Is it an electric chair manufacturing plant? Like, did they like Google, where's a place near me with a handy cage that I can go stick my alpha vamp in? I was very confused as to where they were, but LA told me to let it go. So I did.
I was like, I don't know where they are. Cannot answer that for you.
So we don't know where they are, but it's a handy little manufacturing district type place with the warehouse that happens to have a cage in it with an electrical chair and the alpha vamp is sitting in the electrical chair in the cage, staked. So I guess it wasn't the chair that was electrical. It was the stakes. They had him wired up to something in this cage.
And then they had the dead blood go
dead man's
neck.
Blood. That was a huge ass. That wasn't like a little IV hose.
Like,
that
oh, was no, like it was jugular.
Yeah, and it was massive. It was a huge thing. And he is just sitting there calm, cool, collected. Could not give a shit about anything that's going on around him. Sam and Dean are eavesdropping, trying to watch. Samuel's like, tell me where it is. I know you know where it is. And then he hits the button to electrocute the alpha vamp. He was fantastic. I love him. Hang on. What's his name? It's Rick something. Rick Worthy. He has smooth voice, too. Mm-hmm. I just loved the, what's the word I'm looking for? Just superiority that he approached everything with. Mm-hmm. Like, he really could not give a shit about any of this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking whenever all these hunters showed up at his house, he was just like, I guess I'm going to let them take me and see what this is all about. Because it seems like he probably could have fucked them all up.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have to go with them. It was just a boring Sunday afternoon. He figured, this will be fun. Let's go see what this is. Because Grandpa Campbell hits the button to electrocute him, and he just goes, ouch. Stop. You're hurting me. Like, he was fabulous.
He was.
He was fabulous. So Sam and Dean are watching this, and they're just like, what the fuck? And then Samuel and his minions leave for whatever reason. So Sam and Dean go in there. They're like, you better tell us why you're here. You better tell us what they want. And then Dean goes and hits the button, too. And the Alpha Vamp just sits there looking at him. And he was probably thinking, like, seriously, like, I know you were out there. I'm the one who told you guys to come in here and talk to me, that I could hear you. Like, what is these macho men? Like, I'm going to hit the button. He clearly does not give a fuck about the electricity. Why are y'all trying to act like it's some big power move?
He's like, maybe this one time it's going to work.
Maybe if I hit the button extra hard,
yeah,
it's going to give some more juice. As they're talking, we find out that Samuel has been interrogating him, trying to find Purgatory. We also find out that if they had just gone and got the Alpha Vamp from the first place, that Sam wouldn't have had to have that angelic cavity search, because the Alpha Vamp just, like, sniffed and was like, you smell cold. You don't have a soul. Tell me about that. How are you feeling? It's very cute. But then he confused me, because he contradicted himself. He was saying, okay, so how do freaks like us with no soul, like, where do we go when we die? If you have a soul, you go up or you go down. And then he's like, you boys aren't up on your Dante. Come on, put it together. And then they're like, oh, Purgatory. And then he says, yeah, so all these souls are in Purgatory. Which is it?
I know. Yeah, you caught that. I didn't.
Is it soulless monsters and freaks who go to Purgatory, or are there souls in Purgatory? But anyway, they're trying to find Purgatory. That's the gig. Well, then Sam and Dean get caught. And the Campbells are all like, we're going to be mean and fight each other. And then Gwyn shows up with a gun and stops Dean, because Dean was about to kick their asses. And I like that Dean was like, I thought we had something special, man. Come on. Dean points out, you guys think it's fucking smart to put Jaws in a fishbowl and interrogate him? Like, you think that's going to work out in your favor? He's going to be able to bust out of there. Yeah. And sure enough, he's been slowly and patiently scratching away at the leather band on his wrist with one of his long fingernails the entire time. So we cut to a random hunter just standing outside the cage with his machete. He does not look confident in the way he is holding that machete. I was like, why did you pick this guy to go stand in there by himself? He's about to get killed. And he does the same thing, goes up and hits the button, because the alpha vampire is being mean to him. Alpha vampire escapes and he's fucking everybody up. And then he snaps Christian's neck. He tackles Sam to the wall and it's just like, you're perfectly healthy in every way, except you don't have a soul. And that's going to make you perfect monster.
Yeah, the perfect animal.
Yeah, I want to change you. You're going to be my perfect child. And right as he's about to bite into Sam, all of a sudden Christian pops up out of nowhere with solid black eyes, tackles the Alpha Vamp, like three other people with solid black eyes help him, and then they disappear. LA and I were just screaming, like, what?
That's weird.
I was like, how did Christian get possessed? What the fuck? And then all of a sudden Crowley's there.
Yeah, I know. I like that you don't see him, but there's just a slow clap going on.
Yeah.
And then he shows up.
He's like, hello, boys. And he informs them all, I'm the king of hell, okay? And I'm trying to expand my real estate. Purgatory is hell adjacent. You know, it's nice. I want it. So yeah, I'm trying to find Purgatory. And your grandpa has been working for me this whole time, which the Alpha Vampire did tell them earlier. Like, he's just following orders. Mm-hmm. And I liked that Dean said, well, if he's Kermit, whose hand is up his ass?
Right. And then he said that he was like, oh, so you're Crowley's bitch.
Mm-hmm. And Crowley, of course, just being fantastic with the one liners. Oh, he's like, me, Charlie, you, angels.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
I love it. Oh, I was so happy. We were both just like clapping. We were like, yay. Anyways, Crowley just kind of tells them, so you're all going to work for me now. That's it. I have Sam's soul. I'm the one who pulled him out. My question is, though, how did he pull Samuel Campbell? If Samuel Campbell was heaven, how did the king of hell pull him down?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I guess if angels can go to hell to save Dean, that a demon can go to heaven to
just pop in.
Yeah. I just need to borrow this one just for a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, Crowley's just like, y'all all work for me. And Dean does not like this. But then Sam's like, how else are we going to get my soul back? Like, yeah. I don't really feel like we have any other choice.
Play ball for a while.
And that was the end of the episode. It was written by Andrew Dabb and Daniel Laughlin. And it was directed by Guy B. That's the first time I've seen that name.
I like it. Guy B.
Yeah. Guy B.
Guy B.
Guy B. All right. Gore. We had a couple of blood splooges in this episode.
Well, and when the, she sliced that vampire's head off, there was quite a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And not just on Dean.
They showed that after the blood splooge, they showed the head fall off and the body fall. And there was a lot of blood that came spilling out. I don't know. I feel like the most violent thing was Alpha Vamp snapping Christian's neck. Like, that was like, yikes.
Yeah.
So not like crazy gore, but it certainly had its moments.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything you adored in this episode?
I liked Cass's sass.
Yeah.
And I liked
that whole beginning scene.
Yeah,
that introduction scene. I think we watched that 3 times. I loved it.
And then when he's like, yes, of course, your problems come first.
Yeah.
The Alpha Vamp. I like those things.
Yes. Rick Worthy. I loved his performance. So good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. And then I was thrilled to see Mark Shepard's Crowley
at
the
end. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I was not expecting that whatsoever. I didn't even know if we were going to see him at all this season. So that was really fun to get Crowley. Oh, well, I knew we were going to see him a little bit this season with the Bobby Soul thing, but I kind of thought that was it.
Right.
I mean, they're working for him, so I'm guessing we're going to see him a lot more the rest of the season.
Hopefully.
So that's exciting. What about lore?
Today, I'm going to let you know how to spot someone with no soul.
Oh, good. It's a big concern of mine.
But as I was reading through this, I was like, oh, maybe I don't have a soul.
Uh-oh. Do you need an angelic cavity search, LA?
Well, maybe. So your soul is your humanity. It makes you more than just a bundle of organs connected together by a spine and a beating heart.
Plumbing on two legs.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
Uriel.
It's what gives you hope, kindness, love, and the passion to connect with the universe. But what happens when a person loses their soul? Whether parts of it or the entire thing. Oh, you can just lose a part
just
of it?
Part of it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So can I be like, hey, Balthazar, like, what if I just give you a part of it in exchange for a heavenly weapon?
Think just take a little piece.
Just a little piece.
Yeah.
Just a little piece, Balthy. Where's he?
Right?
It's been a while.
What kind of person is left behind when their soul leaves their body? It says we've all seen or met people like these, and it feels almost impossible to help them.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Here we go. How do I know?
They don't have empathy. No, I do. I have empathy.
You do.
Okay.
To a fault sometimes.
So empathy comes in varying degrees. Some people feel more strongly for others to the point of being affected by other people's misfortune. Mm. On the other hand of the scale are people who have seemingly no concept of empathy at all. These people have difficulty navigating relationships and very often find themselves shying away from any form of emotional expression.
Mm. Unless they hear somebody else still has their soul and they thought they weren't going to.
Yeah, then they get jelly.
Yeah. They get puppy eye jelly.
They are also unforgiving.
Ooh.
Hate and resentment consume the soul, and forgiveness is often the antidote for this. Soulless people, through sheer inflexibility or stubbornness, find forgiveness to be an alien concept. To them, holding on to a grudge and even fostering resentment seems a more reasonable choice than forgiving someone.
That's why Sam, remember whenever Grandpa Samuel was like, so you either work with me or you'll put a bullet in your grandpa. And we saw a gun get cocked.
Yeah. Sam's like, all right,
yeah,
ready? I was like, damn.
You fucking lied to me and I'm mad. I'll put a bullet in Grandpa.
I mean, okay. They're also cynical.
Ooh.
And not in a Santa Claus isn't real kind of way. Cynical people will try to seek out every single ounce of positivity from any given solution. They're real bummers.
Yeah.
What makes them particularly soulless is that their negativity extends beyond themselves. They let it bleed into their interactions and color the way they interact with people. I feel like I've done that before. They're not ambitious. Rooted in purpose, we set goals to create value and find contentment, both things that soulless people don't find particularly interesting. Without much regard for their inner lives, they forgo activities that help them achieve more rounded selves. This means they have no interest in hobbies, passions, and certainly no lifelong ambitions that drive their growth. They're egotistical.
Mm.
Finding beauty in the world around you is one of the characteristics of a soulful person. Too much focus on the inner self to the expense of the outer world is often a symptom of an unwilling soulless life. Without the true value of their lives, people turn to the ego to fill this void. They have dead eyes.
Oh.
I don't think I need to explain that.
No puppy eyes. Not enough.
They're over busy. They avoid deep, consistent conversations. They're manipulative. I feel like these are all pretty self-explanatory. This one is just like Sam. People don't really trust them.
Oh.
If you suspect that someone doesn't have a soul, then look at the people around them. The social network, their work colleagues, even their family. Do they have people they're close with? Or do people keep an... I can't talk. Or do people keep them at an arm's distance? More often than not, it's the latter. Mm. Though there was one, it says, they're often alone with no relationships. I was like, that's me. And then I said, they can't stand children or animals.
Oh.
That's not me. They have nothing that makes them an individual. We all have things about us that make us who we are. We have certain quirks, likes, dislikes, hobbies, interests, passions. All of these help to identify our individuality. What?
Yeah.
Individuality and the impression we leave on those around us. But think about the impression you have of a soulless individual. What do you actually remember about them?
That ass.
The
push-ups.
What do they talk about? What do they love? What do they do that makes you feel this person is alive?
I think that hooker felt like he was alive.
She sure did.
She liked it.
He must have done some good things to her.
Yeah. She was like, call me.
Yeah. You should have a pretty good idea of the type of person you're dealing with. But if you really want to find out if they have a soul or not, don't leave it up to chance. Instead, speak to a real certified advisor who will give you the answers you're searching for. Who are these advisors?
Angels. Get that angelic cavity search.
Because they're
get
so
a good, give me that good,
readily available.
Yeah. Come give me that good fisting, angel. Oh, my God. I need to know. Dig around in there. Tell me, oh, is there a soul? Touch it.
It doesn't look pleasant.
No, it doesn't. All right. Well, quote to close it out. Whenever Crowley arrived, Dean said, since when do you give a crap about vampires?
And Crowley says, since, what's today? Friday? Let's see. Mind your business.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Denim Wrapped Nightmares.
Follow us on Twitter or Instagram, leave a review, and let us know how we can get involved in the fandom.
This was fun. Jerk.
It always is, bitch.